pastor said that he was looking forward to what the Lord has for us, so am I. Because I've never preached these before. Never mind, you're not enjoying that. Joyce has told me, she says, Tom, I got to hear you preach something about three times before I understand what you're trying to say. And I said, so do I. How do you have to have it more than once before you get it? Anybody know what I'm trying to say with that? Okay, that's what this is. I've been memorizing this psalm, Psalm 71, since the beginning of the year. We try to choose a psalm. Joyce and I have chosen a verse each year, the last 4 years now. No, I got the right one. Thank you. She's got my little folder that I keep my notes in, and I took this one out. Never mind. You don't need to know that. I don't know. This started when some of you know this probably. I dropped a tree, and it fell on my foot, and it laid me up for about 12 weeks. And that was one of the best things that could have happened to us, because I've never had... He maketh me lie down. How do you know he has that capacity? Would you agree with that? He can just, because I've always been able to go hard charge and all that kind of stuff. And so we began to pray more together during that time. I also began to, I said, we need a verse. And the verse the Lord impressed upon both of our hearts was that Psalms, I can't remember the numbers. Is it 27:14 or else? No, that's the words of my mouth. 19, verse 14. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen the heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And that's what the Lord was saying to me. The word wait means slow down. God, how do you know God is not in a hurry? And I've been in a hurry most of my life. So it was this wait and slow down. And that was really a blessing to us. So the next year we chose another verse. I don't remember what it was now. Last year was 2 Corinthians. That was 1 Peter 3:15. Last year was Ephesians 5. 15 and 16, see then you walk circumspect, not as fools as wise. And this year, what is our guiding verse? Honey, I can't even think of it right now. You see how we need to work on scripture memory? Okay, anyway, I can't even think of what it is right there this year. And we say it every day. We try to say this is the verse that we want for God to guide us in. It's in the Psalms. I cannot believe I haven't got that one. Anyway, and we've been choosing a psalm to memorize. And this year, the psalm that I've chosen to memorize is Psalm 71. And I've never spoke on it, and I've got just about all of it memorized. And when I memorize something, you get to meditate on it and think upon it. And now, this morning, I want to preach from it as best I can. Now, we're not going to be able to cover the whole psalm. Some of you know in times past, I can take a verse and preach the whole time on one verse, and I can't do that because I want to cover ground in this thing. And but I would encourage you, memorize Scripture. Memorize Scripture. It is a game changer, as best you can. One verse a year. You say, that's not much. It's better than nothing. One a month is even better, okay? And if you only bat 500, you got six verses in the year. That's a game changer. It really is. The Scriptures... thy word have I hid in my heart, it'll keep you from sin, that I might not sin against thee. It has so many positive advantages for the saint to memorize Scripture. Okay, let me give you a little bit of a launching pad where we're at. We've lived down here in Bennington, Owosso, Bennington area, for 43 years, and we are moving. How many of you know that's not an easy thing? How do you know everybody ought to do it at least once, because you can get rid of half of the junk you've saved that you never needed? Anybody know what I just said there? I've held on to junk that your kids may want it. Can I tell you, your kids don't want it, okay? You might as well take her to the dump. We have all of our parents have died in the last, well, it took about 11-year period time there, and they've all passed away now, and we've had to take care of their stuff they saved, okay? Just anyway, it's been a journey for us, and... we're moving to Niles, down where Lydia and her family and Ellen and her family, that's our two daughters, are down there. And we're basically about the same as we are with Brian. Lydia's just behind us about a quarter of a mile. And Ellen's even closer than Ben would be. So anyway, just the whole emotion of leaving things and the transition. How do you know to everything there's a season? A time for every purpose under heaven. This is our last year of being in the itinerant preaching ministry. We've done it for 31 years. Now, many of you people know that went by fast. Anybody know what I just said? 31 years goes by in a heartbeat. And we have two great-grandchildren now. Great-grandchildren mean you are an antique. Never mind. How did that happen, okay? But that's it just happens. It just if you hang around long enough, you'll see these transitions. And rather than fight the changes, we read a book together, and I've got to get away from this. We read a book together the guy gave me a couple years ago from, honey, this is getting bad, huh? J.I. Packer, thank you. He's 92 now. Any of you have heard of J.I. Packer or read his stuff? He was a good theologian. And the title of it was Finishing Your Course with Joy. And he's 92. He said when you're 65 to 75, you're young old, 75 to 85, you're middle old, 85 and above, you're old. So if you're in one of those categories, that's where you are, okay? How many of you know when you're 85 to 95, you know you ain't got a whole... You're in the sunset. Come on, let's get real, okay? It's just that's life, unless you're going to do 120. By the way, I'm not so sure I want to do 100, you know what I mean? But it ain't a cakewalk in that last... Anyway, in it he says, one of the things, we read it together. We read a lot together out loud and stuff. And one of the things he said was, nostalgia is a good place to visit, but don't spend too much time there. Nostalgia, there's things in your past that have good memories to you. It's okay to visit them, but you can never recreate the past. It's past. So don't live in it and move on. And we realize that's what we have to do. We're changing. Life is changing and stuff. Change with it. Don't fight it. And we've shrunk down our house. When our kids were home, that house seemed small and stuffed. When everybody's gone, it seemed big and you rattled around in. We just shrunk it down to a much smaller house. All on one level. Anybody know what I just said? Stairs aren't as encouraging to us as they used to be. It's like, yeah, just walk right from the bathroom to the bedroom to the everything on one floor. And we like that. And it's this change. So that's some of where we're at. But how have you know, though, we are changing and everything in life, the Lord changes not. Would you agree it's good to have something stable in the midst of all of our changes? And that's the Lord. And we look forward to this next decade, the decade of the 70s, okay, what it might look like. And anyway, let me try to quote these for you, if I can. Psalm 71, I'm only going to do 6 verses this morning, or try to. Psalm 71, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me. Thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been held up from the womb. Thou art he who took me out of my mother. My praise shall be continually of thee. Is that 6? That's about 6. Okay. Now, see, I haven't got the flow to that. This is not an easy psalm to memorize, but it's a good one. You know what it is? It's, I believe, the Psalm of David. He doesn't ID it with his name or anything, but it's a seasoned veteran saint that has known the Lord from his youth, and he's stayed with it. Now, when I say stayed with it, how do you know that means in this journey from a young person who grew up in church? Let me ask this question before I press. How many of you got saved as a child? Oh, my goodness. See, a great majority of you got saved as a child. How many of you know in your journey, you don't always walk with the Lord? Would you agree with that? You have seasons where you kind of walk in and walk out. How many of you, if you could do it over now, being older, you'd do it differently? You would never have any of them walking out of seasons. Man, I just walk with the Lord all the time. But it's part of the journey. Now, David, I believe, had some times when he walked in and out. Would you agree with that? When he's a boy, he's killing giants. But later on, he kind of blows it, okay? He does some things, if he could do over, he'd do them different. 9 wives was probably not a good idea. Somebody say amen, please, okay? He probably had some choices. If he did them over, he would do them. It's part and parcel of your journey. But when you get to the end of your life, it's like Jacob. He looked over his shoulder, and when Pharaoh says, how old are you? Because he's an old man now. He's got children and grandchildren and that kind of stuff. He says, how old are you? He said, listen to his answer. He said, few and evil have been the days of my pilgrimage. How do you know Jacob had some hard days? A brother wanted to kill him. He lied to his father. Oh, blah, blah, blah. You go down to the... But he said, when I look back, and this is what I'm doing, Joyce and I, when we look back, the Lord has really been good to us. We could have crashed and burned on many occasions. Any of you following what I'm trying to say? That, when you begin to, when I try to unpack some of these things, realize the guy that penned this, and I believe it's David, Spurgeon says it's David, so I'll stick with him. He's a safe one with the Psalms, okay? He says, God, you've been good to me ever since I've been a kid. And I've known you from my youth up. That's a blessing, a great blessing. Well, what does life look like as a seasoned veteran saint? Because he's going to reveal, this is an old man writing. He's old when he's writing this. And he's looking back. So try to enter into his. Well, I guess what's such a blessing to me is he's a seasoned veteran, but life can still be tough. It can still be difficult even as an old person, an old saint that knows the ropes, who's been there, done that, and got the T-shirt. They can still have some tough things in it in life. And I'm looking forward to, by this will be a whole lot better, my understanding of it, at the end of this year than it is now. But it's time for me to try to preach some of this stuff or teach some of this kind of stuff because I need to get it to a new depth. Every time I will share this, now I may share it 3 or 4 times this year. By the time I've shared it 3 or 4 times, I'll really know what he's trying to say. And I hope I'll really have entered into the text of this stuff. So here we go. Excuse me. Did you know, people have said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't know. And I said, we've thought about it. I want to get closer to God. I want to get to know God better. Uncle Johnny, when he turned 70, said, thank you. Oh, I just forgot. I had somebody give me I put it in my pocket. Herbal throat spray. That's half alcohol, man. What is... This would be a good sermon, okay? Sorry, but you'll be old someday too, okay? Wow, that'll take the hide right off your throat. How do you know there are certain people that have an herb for everything today? Never mind, okay. Oil or something. And that I'm not knocking, I'm just commenting on it, okay? Your throat, do you realize I have spoken enough words for 2 lifetimes? I'm looking forward to being quiet. There's a truth to that. Thanks. Ushers, would you remove the guy over here? I got that, okay? But how many of you know you learn more when your mouth is shut than when it's open? Come on, would you agree with that? You got 2 of these and 1 of these. I want to learn what it is to give an ocean of truth and a drop of speech as opposed to this ocean of speech and a drop of truth. I think that's where I've been. And that should come with age. You should be quieter, I think, the older you get. And when you do speak, you have something to say. I mean, too much of my life is, help, I'm talking and I can't shut up. You know, just... None of you have ever struggled with that. Okay. Well, in thee, I'm going to take off. In thee, in. That may be my favorite word so far in this psalm is in. The word in means, look it up in the dictionary, it means to be completely surrounded by. We are in this part of the building. We're in. Doors are closed. You're in. Okay. What David is saying here when he says in thee, do I put my trust? He's not like a man with a foot in 2 boats, like 1 foot in the church and 1 foot in the world. He's made his decision in. I'm in. I'm all in. When you get older, you ought to say, I'm in. I'm all in. The things that used to have attractions to me, they've lost that lust. The things have grown strangely dim to me because I've looked at them long enough to know there really isn't anything there. But in thee, O God, in thee, do I put my trust? Paul on the road to Damascus. He's going up to arrest Christians. Light from heaven, brightness of sun, voice. Saul, Saul, why Percy? Who are you? He said, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. You know what he says? What do you want me to do? How do you know from that point on, he's all in? Would you say amen to that? He's in. I got it. The Holy Spirit had been talking to him through the death of all the Christians he's been persecuting, the wreaking havoc among the church, and the Spirit of God keeps penetrating, penetrating, penetrating. Finally, God says, you ain't getting this. I'm going to really show up. And he shows up, and he got it, and he said, I'm in. I believe that David realizes, in you, O Lord, in you, completely surrounded by, I want to be in you. Boy, it's a wonderful thing to have Christ in you, the hope of glory. I in you, and you in me. Those wonderful words, that powerful word of in, being in. In thee, in the person of God himself, not in just some kind of a theological shack that we make hastily out of paper mache and say, God, now you dwell in there. He's saying in the person of God, not just these facts about him, but a personal relationship with him. I can remember earlier in my journey of faith, the question used to be asked, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I haven't heard that in so long. You know, today, it's theology that you're into. It's how you have figured God. And we've lost the mystery of God, the greatness of God, the person of God. And David's got it older on his life. He says, in thee, it's you. Well, everything that I believe is wrapped up in the very person of God that I can know personally in you. Not debate the theology. What are you doing, you, oh God, doing in my life? Man, I long for more of that. You. Not some theology that collapses, falls apart at the first winds of adversity. And I see a lot of that. Where is God when things seem to unravel? Well, he's exactly where he was when everything was going good. Have you stopped saying amen here, or do I have to keep begging you for them? Amen means I agree with this. It's God. It's him. It's in thee, O Lord. Not some cold, sterile, lifeless concept, but the person. As Pastor and I were praying, he prayed this morning, and I agreed with him in prayer. Therefore, we prayed in one accord. But as he prayed, he said this. He talked about, O God, early will I seek thee, thee. I thought, yeah, that's David again. Psalm 63:1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. It's David saying, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my strength and my song. You go down through all the times David talks about the person himself of God. He got to know God. To know about God and accumulate just a host of information where you can debate people over him and miss out on the person that that represents, what a sad commentary on life. I don't want that to happen. I want to get to know God. Uncle Johnny, many of you know that, founder of Bear Cal, he married a much younger woman when his first wife died. She had heart problems from birth. She died, left him with one son. He went through some loneliness. There was a girl on staff there, 15 years younger than him. God led them together, fell in love, and all the things that people, you know, all the junk that goes on. And they weathered that, and they married and had another son. And he thought in his mind, she's younger than me, and he had myasthenia gravis. He lived way beyond what you're supposed to live with that disease. And he thought, when I get old, she'll take care of me. But she took cancer and died way before him. At 70, he outlived two wives in a ministry. He was asked, what are you going to do now? And he said, I want to get to know God. At 70, the founder of a camp said, I want to get to know God. And he began to read some of the Puritans and John Owen and the exchange life and these kinds of things. And he died a sweet old man because he knew God. He got to move into that. When he was moving and shaking and unloading trucks and helping, you can't believe that old man was a worker. He just worked hard. And Dave said one time they're getting ready to go on vacation, driving out the drive, and somebody came in with a whole load, a truck and a trailer load of windows or something. He turned around. They had to unload it. They went to work on it, canceled vacation. He said, those were hard times for me. And we don't know about those kind of things. I'm going to do this for God. When he got older, he got to realize it was God's doing for him that he wanted, what God had done for him. And I thought, I want to get to know God. There's some things I need to write that you can't do in the midst of traveling. This, when I'm done today, this will be the 9th time I will have preached this week. It's been like that for 31 years. I've just, you're in a different place. Yesterday I was in a men's meeting in Dexter, Michigan, the United Methodist Church. I'm generic. I go in all kinds of, you don't wear a tag, okay? And then we earlier were in a Baptist church this week. And just, it's been like that. And in the pace, and you do get to know God, at least you're forced to have to know about God. If you're going to talk to people about God, you got to know something about God. I want to know more than just knowing about Him. I want to know Him. My life's verse that I chose when I was 16. I grew up in church. My wife never went to church in her life. When she was an infant, a little water in her face, you're good to go, and that was it. Did any of you follow that? That was her religion. No Bible in home, no prayers, no church, no nothing. And I went to church, and I got news here. My mother took me to Wednesday night prayer meeting. That was you just go to church. So I grew up in church. How many of you know you can grow up in church and learn the language and not know the Lord? Anybody want to say amen to that? It can happen to you. And I got in trouble. Teenagers in the Sunday school class, and the Sunday school teacher couldn't handle us. We're just idiots, me and two other guys. And finally, the pastor had so many complaints. The pastor said, well, I'm going to have a special class for you three boys. And he went to the parents, he went to my mom and said, I'm going to have Tom in a special Sunday school class. My mom rejoiced. She said, oh, praise God. Okay, because he needs it, okay? And the other kid, his folks were going through a divorce and they just left. That ticked him off. And the other one, they were offended the fact that their son would be involved in a special because they knew it was a discipline kind of thing. And they left. So he had a class and guess who was in it? Me. And he worked through some things. He said, Tom, you need a life's verse. You claim, see, I knew the language. I've been baptized and all that stuff. And he said, you need a life's verse. And he began to talk to me. Right here, we're sitting here. I can smell his breath. I mean, we're this close in his office. This is a Sunday school class. 3 months of this. By the way, I did whatever he told me because I didn't like the class. Okay, I wanted to be back with the guys. He said, you need a life's verse. And I chose my life's verse when I was 15 to 16 years old. You know what it is? It's Philippians 3:10. That I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, be made conformable unto His death. That is still my life's verse. I want to know God. Paul said that when he wrote the church at Philippi. You know what he said when he wrote his last letters to Timothy? I know whom I have believed. He got it. He didn't know what he believed. That wasn't the big issue. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He, you see the personableness of His relationship? You start checking out these people in this book that got to know God. They knew a lot about God. I want to know God. Is He who He says He is? Where are the trials and the tests that proves Him to be who He says He is? And I think I've got some of those. I look over my shoulder. Yeah. Man, I'm looking at it saying, there's more. How many of you be willing to admit there's probably a little more to God you could get to know about Him? Anybody want to know? There's more about Him. I want to know about God and know God in my journey of faith. I think that's in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Now, that none of that was in my notes. I got to be careful. He told me that at a certain hour, there's a trap door, and this I got to be on time right now, okay? Okay, Lord. And the O Lord, He identifies who it is He wants to get to know and who He has placed His faith in. Lord, that Hebrew word is Yahweh. And it means this. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2 and wait for me. That'll speed it up. Keep listening. You can multitask. That word Yahweh implies a personal covenant relationship with God. Now, every morning when I first wake up, and sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm awake for a little while. I'll do this praying then and not right when I finally get out of bed. But the first thing I will say when I wake up is this prayer. Lord, I love You. Lord, Yahweh, personal covenant relationship. Lord, I love You. I praise You. I bless You. I glorify Your holy name. For You are God and there is none else. You are God and there is none other. You declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things which have not yet been done. Behold, all Your counsel will stand and You will do all Your pleasure. That's the first thing I say. That's Isaiah 45 or 46, 9 and 10. That's those verses. And it's Lord. In Thee, O Lord. There's a lot of gods competing for our worship, our adoration. He alone is worthy of this. This is the God of David, the God of the Bible, that I want to direct my prayers toward. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. In Genesis chapter 2, I will turn there now. I wish I'd have been turning while I was doing this. The first time this word, Lord, Yahweh, shows up is in creation, if you're obviously aware with Genesis chapter 2. I thought it's worth reading. Most of you, if I quoted verse 7, you'd know right the track. But I want to start a few verses above that. And the Lord God formed Yahweh Elohim. This is the God of the Bible, the Hebrew God. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Let me read these for you. Verse 4, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God, there it is, first time, made the earth and the heavens and every plant of the field before it was in the earth and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God now is going to make man. He formed him of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. How many of you know that Adam was not made like you and I are made? God took dust and formed him. You got a corpse laying there. And then he breathed into him, gave him a spirit, and man became a living soul. He stood up. Without that spirit, he's lifeless. How many of you know when the life of God goes out of a man, the spirit that he gives him that's like God, that we're not made in his likeness, this thing. What's in this thing is what's like God, for God is a spirit. Can you follow this? Okay. This isn't deep theology, but it's something we should, because this is the one he's talking about. In thee, he shows up here. This is the one. Do I put my trust? Creation. How many of you know all the rest of Adam's descendants have a belly button? Isn't that deep? How many of you know Adam and Eve didn't? That's the only difference between them and us. They were made adults. We have to grow into them. How many of you still feel like you have some growing up to do? But we, how many of you know we had parents, seeds, conception, development, DNA, genetic code that makes you uniquely you, fingerprints, IMAPs, all that stuff. But we came out of the womb a child and are moving toward maturity, growing up. David was one of them. We can identify with David. He was the son of Jesse. Would you agree with that? And he had brothers. And they all came into the world and they grew into. Did you know that Jesus himself did the same thing? Mary? Conception, God, one seed in the womb, development. How many of you know that means that probably Jesus had Mary's eyes? Come on, is that hard to comprehend? This is the one he's talking. This is Yahweh Elohim becoming a man. This is the one I want to get to know. This Jehovah God, Jesus. How many of you know we know more about him than David knew about him? Say amen to that. Would you agree with that? He knew he was coming. He knew some things. I mean, you read some. He knew I was going to die. Have you read Psalms 22? But we know way more. This is the one I want to know. This is in thee, O Lord, Yahweh, God, Jesus. Jesus and Jehovah are the same. You realize how that separates you from a lot of other faith? This is God we're talking about. I want to get to know this God who walked as a man. Who experienced everything I experienced. He was tempted and tested in thee, O Lord. Boy, how do you know if we're going to cover six verses? You better start listening faster. Would you agree with that now? We could spend a lot more time here than we're going to. I just love to. I want to ponder this. I want to think on this more and more. If you don't believe that God made you, you, he designed that whole thing. Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. When you were still part of the food chain, the dust of the earth, that he made us, okay? We all come from what he made in Adam. as in Adam, all of us come out of that seed of his. If I don't believe that, I have no meaning or purpose. You have to ask yourself the question, if I do not, as David is embracing thee, O Lord, who made me, it shows up here first in Genesis, then you have to ask yourself the question, then why am I here eating up the food, drinking up the water, breathing up the air, and taking up the space? For the one who knows him, he has the answer. Whether I eat or whether I drink or whatever I do it all for the glory of Yahweh Elohim, the one who made me. I got a reason to be here. Without that, this is insane. You pull this out of the mix, this is crazy. You put it in the mix, this makes sense. How do you know that we really aren't the center of the universe and everything orbits around us? Please say amen to that, please. Okay. How many of you have days where you think you are? Come on. Wrong. I got to get back to NVE. Okay, this one here. I got it now. This one. This makes sense. Without it, insane. David's got it. As he pens this letter, this psalm, this prayer, he's got it. Put my trust. Let me tell you what trust is, and you, I'm sure, know this. I'm going to tell you anyway. Confidence. It is special reliance, this is the dictionary definition, special reliance on supposed honesty. He believes that what God has told us about himself is true. You're not enjoying it. Okay. He actually believes it. So he puts his trust in him. The journey of faith. Did you know the whole Bible is a journal of man's faith with this God who penned it? These things are in here for our benefit, that we might get to know the same one they knew. How do you know that if you know God, you know the same one David knew, the same one Noah knew, the same one Adam knew? There is but one God, say amen. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of us all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. If this is true, can I know God? Can I really know him? Boy, that should stir a desire to say, yes, I believe we can, and I've got a lot I want to know. Of and from you. Of is a preposition, meaning to proceed from the source that God literally reveals of himself to us, and we get to know him. Simple little words. Not only know of God, but be known of him. This is going to freak some of you, but I'm going to say it. Did you know that God actually knows my name? I'm in enough places, and if I pray about this, God, will you please help me? I know many of your faces, but anybody know what I'm getting ready to say or no? And it bugs the fire out of me, because if you know somebody's name and use their name, instantly feel like they know you. Never mind, you're not. Did you know that Satan knows my name too? But he never calls me by my name. He always calls me by my weakness. Hey, coward. Hey, stupid. Never calls me by. God knows all my weaknesses, coward, stupid, and on, but he never uses them. He always calls me by my name. Okay. What a great God we have. Say amen to that. What a great God. We have and can know him better than most of us are content not to. I want to know God. I want to live off somebody else's faith or their knowledge of God. I want to know God. Okay. I'm going to eliminate that. No, I won't either. He says, David penned this psalm. If you're familiar with the life of David when he was a young boy, he knew what it was to go and take a sheep that had been taken by a lamb or a bear, take the sheep away and kill the lion or the bear. So when he faced the giant, remember what he said to him when the big showdown came? You got the Philistine army, 40,000 strong behind Goliath. You've got David here, young shepherd boy, young teens, probably isn't shaving yet. He's got a slingshot. His army is behind him in the rocks, cowering, not wanting to see what the giant's going to do to this boy. And he said to him, when the giant mouthed off and said, he got ticked off, send out a boy, they're trying to mock me, and he gets all fired up and all this kind of stuff. And David, because he says he's going to tear his head off and feed it to the buzzards, and his carcass he's going to give to the jackals of the field. And David said, oh, you got it wrong, big boy. This is a loose translation. It ain't King James, okay. He says, I'm going to take your head. He said, the Lord is going to deliver. In thee, O Lord. How do you know David's confidence was not in his accuracy? Would you agree with that? I actually would love to know how he did this. I think he might have went up and went, take a back shot at this one. Because he knows that God's going to take that stone and plant it right in the middle of that guy's head, and he's going down. Because the Lord's going to deliver you into my hand. You have defied the Lord God of the armies of Israel, and you're going to pay. What confidence. How do you know he's not trusting in himself? Say amen to that. Can you imagine how dwarfed he looked? How do you know Jews are not normally known for their height? They're smaller people. And he's a boy. And he's looking at a guy that's been a murdering, killing warrior from his youth. Skilled with the sword. He got every advantage. How do you know if you're taking odds that day, you'd have took him on Goliath? Unless you'd have known David's God. That's the one I want to know. Because I still face giants. You're going to see it over this old boy. He's an old seasoned veteran saint, and he's still got giants in his life. Fears that come with growing older. The concerns. The assaults. You're going to see this. Isaiah 31, woe to them who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but they seek not, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither do they seek the Lord. There it is again. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. It's amazing how we panic when something big seems to come on us. Bigger than God? Bigger than God? We lose sight of that. Okay, in the middle verses of the Bible, Psalms 118, 8, and 9, many of you already know this, but it's David, the psalmist, is penning and says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in a prince. You know what a prince is? That's the best of men. Get them the best they come, but you're better off to trust God than to trust them. You're better off. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will bring it to pass. There is a horrible sin that so many times we don't even acknowledge as sin. We definitely don't confess it as sin. And it's the horrible sin of unbelief. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. We need to make that a claim every day of our life. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. He's not writing to the Chamber of Commerce. He's writing to the brethren. Is it possible for us to depart our faith from the living God? The living God. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. David said, I thirst for you, the living God. The disciples were asked at Caesarea Philippi, Jesus said, who do people say that I am? And everybody got quiet. And finally, Peter opened his mouth and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. The living God. Now, people, I'm going to tell you something. We do not worship the ghost of a dead man. We worship a risen Savior. And if you don't preach that next week when we have Sunday, I'm going to come after you. We serve a risen Savior. Would you agree with that? He's alive. And all the people who blow, he's going to show up. And they'll believe then, but it'll be too late. You want to believe it now by faith. This is the God we can know by faith. How do you know if you're trusting? See, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. I guess we're not going to make it as far as I thought. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. How do I know if I'm trusting in God? Here's the first evidence. He launches into prayer. You know what this is? This is a prayer. From here on, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust? That's his claim. And here's how I evidence. Let me never be put to confusion. How he starts his grocery list. Would you agree with that? He's going to start laying these things before God. He's going to show God that I'm trusting you and I'm going to come to you in prayer. Hebrews 11, 6 says this, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God, that's exactly what prayer is. You want to know who you are? Get along with God and pray, and that's who you are, nothing more. And not public prayers. You can fake it. How have you faked it? How have you ever been at a prayer meeting and somebody prays eloquently before you and you know it's your next turn and you start thinking, how can I top that? None of you. Okay. We compete with one another for the applause of man. You want to know who you are? It's getting in the closet and shutting the door. in this contact with deity, it's not a recital between you and the ceiling. It is actually entering into the presence of Almighty God. We, Joyce and I, feel this is going to be our ministry in our latter years, is the ministry of intercession. We have grown to, we just love our prayer times in the morning. Spend an hour together with the Lord in prayer. Man. And there's times he shows up, and sometimes, you know what it is? We just continue to do it. We persevere in the prayers. We don't sense the closeness. How do you know I need to be faithful? Because God says, I'm there. You come to me in my son's name, and you have access. I'm there. And I want to trust so many times on the feelings or the circumstances, the situations. No. Trust in him. His first request is, let me never be put to confusion. How do you know that God is not the author of confusion? I'm going to race through this. Get what you can. Really race through this. 1 Corinthians 14:33 is not the author of confusion. James 3:14, but if you have bitter envies in your heart, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonical. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. He said, I don't want to go that route. That's exactly what he's asking. Lord, I don't want to be a reproach on your name in my latter years. I've been in this long enough to know that there are people who walked with God at one time that have departed. They stood in pulpits and preached his word and have wandered away from God in their later years. I don't want to be one of them. We want to finish well. A prayer for continual deliverance. Look at this, verse 2. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation. This is nothing more than Psalms 90, the psalm of Moses, when he says in about verse 8, because thou hast made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. It is not some kind of a theological, sterile concept. It's the person of God himself. I go to God. In thee, Lord, I put my trust. You be my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Consistency. Verse 4, cry for deliverance. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked. Who's going to bother a person when they get to be old? The devil, his crowd, the tares among the wheat, the world's philosophies of whom Satan is the prince of. Oh, a cry for deliverance. Boy, there's a bunch of powerful prayers that David has listed for us. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer from the ends of the earth while I cry unto thee. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter. Thou hast been, not the theology. Thou hast been a shelter unto me and a strong tower from the enemy. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established. He did this. I know God did this. He's getting to know the God that he's praying to, putting his confidence in. He's seeing what he's doing. He brings him out, puts him, establishes his going, puts a new song in his mouth, even prays to our God. Others are going to see it and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Verse 5, the person again. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust. Go through that psalm and just start circling the word my. There's 24 times, there's 24 verses. This is a man who has a personal relationship with God. He knows God. He's made him his. Boy, there's strength in that. Verse 6, by thee have I been held up from the womb. I'll take off there. That's just some good stuff.